No problem.
I appreciate it nonetheless. Leonard, tell you what I'll do. I'm going to ask you, well, first, before we start, your autograph request will increase for a period of a month or so after this appears.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Most guys don't mind it. You know, if they're nice enough to give an interview, they usually pretty much enjoy the request. But
I sign them all anyhow. I don't care what I get.
Okay, great. Well, I know one guy says his increased about threefold for a period of a month or so. Okay, great. I'll ask you, I don't know, 10 or 12 questions, and if you just please answer them as short or as long as you want, and if you don't want to answer something, just don't do it.
Okay.
To start off, when I was a kid, my goal in life was to play for the 1956 Tigers, except you guys wouldn't wait for me, so I guess I never got there. You signed as an 18-year-old. Who signed you?
Ed Catalanis.
Okay, so you were a Tiger property your whole life?
Yeah, well, until I got traded to California.
Right, yeah. Okay. Your first 2 years in the minors were very good. Your second year, you looked like you were probably in the wrong league.
Yeah, it got to where it was kind of easy, really. I won my last 13 in a row in that league.
Oh, my goodness. And we led just about everything you could lead in.
Yeah, that's true.
But they kept you there the whole year.
I'll tell you why. You didn't get moved up like you do now, Brent.
Right.
Because there were so many farm teams, and there were so many players, and they figured you needed all the experience they could give you, and boy, they kept you going one little shot at a time.
Well, I think today you'd have probably gone through three leagues with that kind of record.
Yeah, maybe so. Yeah, God. Really advanced them now, yes.
It's a rare player can stick around long enough to win 18 games, even 14 games as you did your first year in the minor league.
Yeah, I had trouble early my first year, but then I come on real good. And the second year, you know, of course, you got a year under your belt, and even at that stage, at one time, I was like 9-6, and then I end up, I don't even remember, it seems like I ended up winning 22 got in the playoffs. That's why I said, it was because I remember I'd won the last 13 games in a row.
18 in the regular season, then 3 or 4 in the playoffs.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. All the way up, you were a good pitcher in the minor leagues. You were on a couple of poor teams, but you still had good records all the way. And then you were, 21 years old you came to Detroit, or 22 years old you first came up?
How did I get here? The first time...
53. You were
22. Yeah, 53. Yeah, I was... that's right, because I wouldn't have been 23 until the end of the year, yeah.
Right.
So I was 22.
Had you been in Buffalo that year? 13-10 in Buffalo.
In 53, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, that was a funny thing. I was going real good in that league until I got sick one time, and then I got to going bad. After I got sick, I just wasn't strong for about 2 months of that season because I was really pitching well in that league.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't figure out why I couldn't get called up to the big leagues because I was pitching so well, and I was pitching, you don't know the Offerman Stadium, but that thing was so small, and, you know, I was pitching real well. In fact, Freddie Hutchinson came down on his way somewhere to see me pitch a game, and I remember winning that game 3-2 in 11 innings in that park. He's telling me how great it was, this and that, but I never could get called up.
Well, the Tigers sure weren't going anywhere then.
I know it. And that's how tough it was to get to the big leagues.
Yeah.
And, you know, the ballpark, I'll tell you how small it was. It was 321 down left field line,
mm-hmm.
345 to left center.
Oh, my goodness.
And right field was 297. And then it jutted out pretty good into center field.
It would sound like a pull here to have a field day there, either way.
Oh, God, yeah. They used to have a big, tall fence. You headed it over the fence to get a home run, but up, you know, anything up on the fence would drop down the field.
Mm-hmm.
I used to pepper that thing myself.
Well, you were a pretty good hitter.
Yeah, I didn't mind hitting.
Yeah.
I wasn't afraid of the ball, and I think maybe that's why at least I could hit the ball, you know.
Yeah, you gotta stand in there.
So.
Well, you made it in 55, you made it to stay.
Yeah, right.
And in 56 through 59, you were... I guess you were in the upper echelon of American League pitchers. You won 58 games in those 4 years.
Yeah.
And a lot of starts, a lot of complete games, very consistent. But as your control improved, your strikeouts decreased.
Yeah, I don't know if I was trying to get the ball over more, and at first I think I was probably trying to strike guys out. I don't know. But I think what was installed in my head at the time was that I was kind of afraid of the hitters at first when I got the big leagues, figuring that if I threw the ball right down the middle, they're going to hit a home run every time.
Mm-hmm.
And consequently, I got behind a lot of them, and I walked a lot of guys. Fortunately, I could throw hard and strike somebody out here and there.
Well, you had 180-some-odd strikeouts your first full year, but you had 140 walks, I believe.
Yeah, I walked a ton of guys. And you don't walk that many guys. Of course, you got a hell of a lot better chance of winning the game.
Sure.
But that was it was a problem throughout my career, my control, and I had my first 2 years, I had a great, great curveball. Do you remember a guy by the name of Tommy Bridges?
Sure.
I was throwing batting practice one time, and he told me I had the greatest curveball he's ever seen.
Well, he was...
I couldn't believe he told me that, because I knew what Tommy had.
He was supposed to be the best one ever.
Yeah, he told me I had the greatest curveball he's ever seen.
Wow.
But then, and I won't say who the coach was, but I was kind of a short-arm pitcher, and he took me and got me way up top, and I lost that curveball.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Did you ever get it back?
Not like that, no. Just fell off the table.
Boy, that's a shame.
It was a great curve. It really was a good curve.
Well, up until that point, your curve was your best pitch?
No, I could throw pretty good in the 90s.
Could you?
Yeah, they never had a gun at that time. And I knew I threw hard, and of course, you're hanging around with guys, and there's other guys throwing hard too, naturally. But after I quit and everything, I was sitting in the stands one day, just watching batting practice, and there were two guys sitting behind me, and one of them tapped me on the shoulder. He said, "Aren't you Paul Foytek?" I said, "Yeah, how do you know me?" He said, "Well, I'm a scout for L.A., and this is so-and-so, director of the scouting thing." He said, "Boy, I wish they had a gun when you were throwing." He said, "You could really throw." So I said, well, to myself, maybe I was throwing a little bit harder than most guys.
What happened to you? You went through, those four very, very good years, 1960. Were you hurt?
Yeah, I tore muscles in the front of my shoulder and went down under my arm, down to my elbow. It was a torn mess.
Oh, boy.
It's so hard to remember after all these years, but I remember I hurt my arm in Kansas City one time. Maybe that wasn't the time, it was another time I tore muscles, yeah, because I think Joe Gordon had been a manager when I was here, but yeah, I had a bad arm that year. Sure did. Horrible, in fact.
You sure did snap back, though, but you weren't quite the pitcher you had been before.
Oh, no, never was. I don't think I could throw as hard, although later on I came back again, and I was getting toward the end, and it's a funny thing, I got through kind of winding myself down, saying, well, it's going to be time for me to get done here, and I think I might have got myself out of the game a little early by doing that. But I figured I had to go on with my life, so.
Well, yeah, there's time for everything.
Yeah, right.
In 1961, this was the year after after you were hurt, there are two home runs I want to ask you about. One of them was Roger Maris's first of his 61. Do you remember that?
Yes. That was the first game I get in that year as a pitcher. And I was kind of squawking that I hadn't got in a game, and I forgot at what state. What do you remember? What month that was? It May.
I can give you the date. I had it. I didn't write it down. But go ahead and talk, and I'll find it.
Yeah, it seemed like I hadn't been in a game yet this year, and it was getting kind of late, like late April or early May or something like that. Whenever it was, but. I finally got in a game, and Roger hit a home run off me.
Were you relieving or starting?
Well, I come in as a reliever that day.
April 26th, so the season had been going on a couple weeks.
Yeah, and I hadn't been in the game. In fact, that was the first game I had warmed up to go in.
Oh, do I?
I do remember that, yeah.
Fifth inning, it says.
Yeah, that's about right.
It was the Yankees' 11th game.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, well, the other one...
Sure, because I wasn't pitching, you know.
But
that's the way it went at that time.
The other home run was one you hit.
Oh, Lord.
You remember that?
Yeah, I remember that. I'll tell you why, because I used to hit Don Larson pretty good.
Uh-huh.
And he threw the ball high where I liked it, and to me, he wasn't throwing that hard. So I happened to crank one. But later on, in the ninth inning, they had a man at first, and Manoso, I think he cracked his bat, and he hit a home run in the right field and beat me the game.
Oh, no.
So I got to tell the whole story there.
Give and take.
Yeah.
We were talking about your hitting. We did a minute ago, and now, except for, well, really for 1 year, what year was that, 1959, in which you did not hit well at all, you hit extremely well all the way through your career.
Yeah, not too bad for a pitcher.
Now, that 1 year probably cost you a 200 career average, but because you were 9 for 81. But the rest of the time, you had like 240, 222, 280. You were hitting the ball.
Yeah, it wasn't bad for a pitcher, really. I remember a game in Kansas City. The only reason I remember this is there was a guy at work where I worked, and I've been there for 25 years, is to tell me what a lousy hitter I was. Then somebody, because I never kept clippings or anything, happened to send me in the mail about 2 days before a clipping where I had played in Kansas City, and I got three hits. I scored three runs, and I knocked in five.
Wow.
And I said, that was a pretty good day. Yeah, we absolutely annihilated them that day.
Well, that's a good day for anybody, no matter what they're playing.
Good day for a hitter.
Yeah.
So, I didn't mind hitting. I wasn't afraid of the ball. So, I think most hitters who can't hit are probably a little afraid of the ball.
Yeah, it's a different end of it. 62, you had another, not as good as your early years, but a good solid season. Then you were traded to the Angels in 63. What did you think of the switch?
Well, it's a funny thing about 63. It had been a long, long time before I got in a game that year. And I got so sick and tired of sitting around. I don't know why they kept sitting me down, wouldn't let me pitch. So finally I said, you guys don't need me. I'm sitting in the bullpen one day. I told Tom Ferrick, our coach, I said, I'm tired of this. I'm going home. So I left. Wouldn't you know, we tied the score in the ninth inning. Bob Sheffing calls for me to warm up in the 12th inning, and I'm already sitting home eating my dinner.
Oh, no.
So the next day I stopped as I'm going in the ballpark in the parking lot. And I said, I know Jim Campbell wants to see me. He said, yeah, how do you know? I said, I know. So I'm up and I saw Campbell and he asked me what the story was and I told him. He said, I can understand you wanting to place it, but I'm going to have to find you $500. And I'm, boy, that was a lot of money at that time.
Sure.
And I said, Jim, if you're not going to let me pitch here, I said, why don't you trade me? He says, I'll try to see what I can do. So eventually he traded me, but I will tell you, he gave me my $500 back.
Well, that's nice.
Yeah.
You weren't being used in Detroit. In 2 months with them that year, you only pitched 9 times.
Yeah, I know. It was a long time before I ever got into a game.
Yeah.
It's a funny thing. It always seemed like if they were going to try somebody else, I was the guy that had to sit out till they decided what they're going to do with this guy.
Yeah, well,
I don't know why they picked me all the time.
And still, the Tigers were going nowhere at that point either.
Yeah, well, that's bigger.
Well, you pitched pretty decent ball for the Angels the rest of the season.
Yeah, Rigney was reminds me of Sparky Anderson. He can't wait to make a move.
Mm-hmm.
Pitchers. And when I got there, he asked me what I want to do. I said, well, anything to help the club, you know, as long as I can pitch some. So I relieved a few times. He said, you're throwing harder than I thought you could throw. I said, I still throw good. And then so he made me a starter for a while. I pitched real well. Then all of a sudden, I must have sat down for 3 weeks there.
Oh, boy.
Put me back in the bullpen again. So, yeah, but I pitched fairly well for them. Not too bad.
Yeah, you did. You had one game that probably cost you a half a run on your earned run average at least. I was listening to it on the radio, and it's a record that may never be broken.
Oh, those four home runs?
Yeah.
God, what a time that was.
I bet that was, I was hearing it. I remember it very well. I was about 20, I was 22. That my girlfriend at the time, I had taken her shopping, and I was listening to the ball game, and I told her she'd go ahead in and get whatever she wanted. I'd just sit in the parking lot and listen to the game. And that's, I heard those, and I figured, oh my goodness, she's one of my favorite players, and they were evidently just, you were telling them what you were throwing, I guess.
We had just come from Boston, and it seemed like I had pitched 2 days before, 9 innings. And we were a little short of pitchers, and we had a lot of games. And Bill said, Paul, can you pitch a couple innings? You know, I'm short on pitch. I said, yeah, no problem, Bill. I said, today's my day to throw, so I'll just, you know, throw there. You know, I got the first five hitters out, and the next four hit home runs. And he come out to mine. He said, what do you think? I said, well, I'm not in any trouble, Bill. He said, get out of here.
Nobody on base.
But you know, it's a funny thing. If I remember right, Woody Held hit the left field foul pole, and Tito Francona hit the right field foul pole.
Oh, boy.
But God, it was embarrassing.
Well, you gave one up to Pedro Ramos, and there was a hitting pitcher for
Pedro
you.
Pedro Ramos, yeah. There's one over the center field wall, I think.
He may have been the best hitter of those four guys.
Yeah, he might have been.
Well, other than this game, is there one game that stands out in your mind, or one game that you can say was your most exciting game or biggest thrill?
Well, I know what stands out the most because I pitched a game in Chicago one time that I never threw three balls on any hitter in the game.
Oh, wow. That's great.
And that, as far as pitching, that's the best game I think I ever pitched. I do remember that. I do remember another one over in Cleveland. And Jim Bunning and I were going to, they decided who was going to pitch one night and the next. So, no, I was going to pitch the one night and he was the following night. So I drew Gary Bell, and then he was drawing Donovan. And Donovan used to pitch pretty good against us.
Mm-hmm.
He saw, you lucky dog, you get Bell and I get Donovan. Well, it just so happens I had a no-hitter for 7 innings, and they got a base hit in the 8th inning, and a Maxwell misjudges a fly ball, and goes for a double. I lose the game 1-0.
Oh, boy.
And if I remember correctly, we got 3 hits, and I think I got 2 of the 3 hits. But, you know, that game stands out. Another game is, you know, I struck out 15 guys and lost the game.
Oh, yeah? Who was that against?
So.
Who was that against?
Stand out, you know.
Yeah. That's a hard way to go. Who was the best player or best hitter you saw?
The best hitter?
Yeah, or best overall player, in your opinion.
You mean, that I played against, I think the best overall player had to be Mickey Mantle.
Yeah, most of the guys from York, they will say
he could do everything.
Yeah.
And, you know, I just played against some good players. I'm a good hitter. I played against Ted Williams.
Sure, that's right.
You know.
Was there one hitter that was particularly rough on you?
You won't believe who it was.
Who?
Bobby Richardson killed me.
No kidding.
Absolutely killed me.
Well, he was a tough little ball player.
Yeah, but I could throw in the rosin bag up there in the heat of his line drive. He absolutely wore me out. Yogi Berra, I get out real good.
Yeah?
Real good. But I could not get Bobby Richardson out.
Well, that's funny.
Yeah, strange game.
You had some, a couple pretty good teammates. You had Harvey Keene, and you had Kaline and Boone. These guys produced well for a number of years. How did they rate?
Al was a great player. In fact, Al and I were roommates.
Oh, really?
Yeah, for about 6 or 7 years. He was an absolutely great player. You know, he wasn't a big, strong guy, but he did so many things. God, he could. I saw him get a standing ovation in Boston one day and didn't even throw the guy out.
No kidding.
He made such a great play the time before, and then he made a great play about an inning later, and they gave him a standing ovation for the play he made and didn't even throw the guy out. But he held the guy from going first to second from where the ball was hit, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But he was a great player. I wouldn't say Harvey was a great player because he had a little deficiency in fielding.
Yeah.
And Ray was a great RBI man.
Mm-hmm. Good producer.
In fact, you know, when Harvey got traded to Cleveland, I walked in the ballpark that morning down in Florida, and Frank Lane was sitting there. I said, Frank, why don't you trade Rocky and Herb score for me and Harvey. He says, okay, Paul. I didn't know, but that was supposed to be the deal. I was supposed to go with Harvey at Cleveland for Herb score and Rocky Colavito.
I'll be darned.
But that day, I pitched well, and Herbie got his tattooed over in over in Sarasota somewhere, and they only made half of the deal.
That was a big half.
So
somebody told me a story about you, and I don't remember who it was. Ryan Duren used to hit K-Line.
Mm.
And he decked him one time, and you were pitching.
Who told you this story?
I'm trying to think who it was. Anyhow, you cold cocked Duren.
Didn't I, though?
I just absolutely knocked him flat. And who was it, said that they thought normally when a guy's hit, they said he catches himself in his hands, and they said Duren just went straight down on his nose like he was dead.
I thought I killed him. I'll tell you what the story was. He had come in the game, and I had to be sitting on a bench doing nothing. And he came in the game, and something happened. And our manager said, who can pitch an inning? I said, me, Jack. Oh, it was Jack Ty.
Uh-huh.
So I don't even have shorts on under my uniform. I don't have a jock strap, no cup, or nothing. I grabbed somebody's glove, I went to the bullpen and warmed up. So during the game, he hit Frank Bowling in the right elbow, and he just missed hitting K-Line in the head.
Uh-huh.
And Al come back, he said, when the hell are one of you guys going to get him? And I'm thinking, gee, John, you guys can go to the mound, too. I said, well, to myself, if I get a chance, I'm going to bury that guy's ribs. So I got in the game, and he came to the plate. And I said, this is a good time for me to get this guy. Then I didn't want to hit him in the head. You know, that's dangerous. But I did want to shot him in the ribs. But I got it high, and he froze. Boy, and I cracked his cheekbone. I cracked his helmet. And he went down like a bag of potatoes. I thought I killed him. I said, ooh, that's dangerous.
Yeah, I bet it was. Scares you.
You know, and he could throw so hard, and he shouldn't have done what he was doing.
Yes, he could throw hard. He could see, too.
Oh, he did that on purpose.
Yeah.
In fact, you know, both the benches emptied that day.
I imagine.
And everybody comes shooting out to the middle. Some guy grabs me from behind and carries me off to the side. And he says, don't stand there. Somebody will step on your feet. You get hurt. And it was Mickey Mantle. Mickey and I are big buddies. And he said, don't stand there. It's about time one of you guys got him.
I remember.
I'd print that part of it.
No, I remember who told me now. It was Gail Harris.
Oh, Gail, was it?
Yeah. And he said that Hank Bauer and Eddie Robinson came out, and he said he was standing there at first base, and he figures, oh, my goodness, they're going to kill me. And Bauer said to him, says, you're lucky we don't like that son of a bitch, because if we did, we'd tear you apart.
Yeah, nobody liked it. Nobody liked it.
Who was the best pitcher you saw in your time in the bigs?
Oh, boy, let me see. Best pitcher I saw was probably Whitey Ford.
Mm-hmm.
He was a good pitcher. He really was a good pitcher.
excuse me.
Jim Bunning was a good pitcher.
Yeah, I talked to him a little while, but he lives just up the road here in Kentucky.
Yeah.
What about your teammate, Larry, Frank Larry?
Well, Larry was a good pitcher. He was you know, a lot of guts. Good, great battler. The reason I'd say he wasn't a great pitcher was the fact that he couldn't beat the bad teams. Like Washington, he never beat much.
Mm-hmm.
He was a great competitor, though. You know, I'm not saying he wasn't a good pitcher, because he was. But the best pitcher, I think, maybe in the league at the time I was there, was Whitey Ford.
Probably so.
There were some good pitchers around.
Yeah, Cleveland always could throw three or four a match in.
Oh, boy, yeah. They had, God, Early Wynn, Bob Feller, all those guys. Bob was getting toward the end of his career when, you know.
I suspect he was still pretty scary.
Yeah, well, sure.
was there one team that you had, that either had your number or you had their number?
Oh, boy. I think maybe I beat Chicago and Cleveland pretty often.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember, I wasn't that great a pitcher, but I don't remember, you know, who really had my number.
You would remember if somebody consistently got you.
Yeah. I don't remember everybody consistently getting me. I think it was probably because I threw pretty damn hard, and it's tough to get a guy that throws that kind of stuff to consistently get him.
Yeah.
It makes it difficult. It really does.
You got to be off just a little bit from the time you...
Yeah. I sit back and watch guys now, and I say, boy, I threw pretty damn hard. And I just don't know how hard I threw.
Mm-hmm.
But in talking to some players, I say, yeah, you were pretty damn quick. I say, well, you got to get over the plate, too.
Yes.
That was the problem.
You were not that big a man, either.
No.
Well, you're about 6 foot and about 180, is that what you played, something like that?
5'11", 180. 5'11"? Yeah.
Did you save souvenirs from your career?
No.
You weren't a collector?
I did not save anything.
I'll be darned. No. Do you have your baseball cards?
I don't have them. I get a lot of them in the mail to sign.
Do you?
Yeah.
Now, some guys, they say they never collect anything, but once they retire, they went back to try to get their cards.
No, I never even tried to get my cards. If I want them, I can get them anytime I want them. Because I go to these card shows once in a while.
Oh, yeah?
In fact, I just had a guy send me a couple pictures, like those 8x10s.
Mm-hmm.
And he gave me a couple of the pictures.
That's nice.
So, because somebody else asked me, not because I wanted them. I know what I look like.
Well, yeah, there's only got a mirror if you need that. But, you've got family that might want to have something like that.
Not really. I had some that I gave my grandkids, and my wife got them and put them in little plastic things for them. They set them up, you know.
Good.
But, I'm going to tell you something. If you think you're a big shot, I got a grandson here. He's about 10 years old right now. But I came home about 4 years ago, and he happened to be here. And I said, I want you to hear this, Greggy. So I turned on the recording. My son's boss had a thing. And it was a whole game that I pitched. He bought it somewhere, and I pitched against the Yankees, and I beat him.
Mm-hmm.
And he stood there a minute, and he said, Foytak winds up in the pitch, and there it is, whatever is a ball or strike. He said, Pop, I don't want to hurt your feelings, but I'm going outside and play.
Well, kids can't take you down.
You're supposed to be real quick.
But in a few years, that will be very interesting to him.
Yeah, it will, and I still have it.
Good.
Yeah,
we'll save it for him.
I gave him, I don't know what I did with the rest of them. I gave one to my son, but happened to give him a ball, and all that's down there is Hall of Famers.
Well, that's nice.
So
those things are worth so much money today.
It probably is, yeah. Yeah, because there's quite a few good players on there. Spahn and Feller and Eddie Matthews, all those guys.
Well, I've got an autographed ball of a Tigers team sometime in the mid-50s. When I was a kid, I got it, and you're on there, and K-Line, and Bucky Harris was the manager, whatever year that was.
He's a nice guy.
I've been offered $350 for it, and, those the Tigers have always been my team. I'm not going to sell it, but
yeah.
I just couldn't believe that it had that kind of value.
What do you do, work on racehorses, Brent?
Just horses, mostly broodmares, getting the babies in the world to go to the races. I don't work on the track.
Oh, I see.
Track's a good place not to get paid. That's an awful lot of gyps and con artists there. They ship into the racetrack one day, run up a big vet bill, and ship out the next day, and you can't track them down. It's pretty hazardous. But, horses are fun. Horses beat most people, I know.
Yeah, I would imagine.
Couple more questions.
Sure.
You mentioned you sign autographs. How much fan mail do you get?
Oh, sometimes I'll get 4 or 5 at the house. Today I got 2, I think. Not that much anymore. Maybe 30 pieces a month, something like that.
That's a bunch a year.
Yeah, I guess it is.
And that's good. A lot of guys I know, they want to get paid for it, or they throw things away.
Oh, I've seen things come in the mail where if you sign this, we'll get your money for your autograph. I throw those away.
Good.
They said, somebody will take that and sell it. I said, fine, if they got enough gumption to send it an extra buck for it, whatever, I said, let them do it. I don't care.
Well, a lot of guys have said they get six and seven pieces from one person, they know that they're going to be selling them. But if they get one or two things from somebody, they know that they're keeping them, and it's for them.
If I don't care if somebody sends me 10, I sign them all anyhow.
That's good.
I don't mind that.
That's good. It's not like it's taking time and money out of your pocket or anything like that.
No, all they do is sign them, put them back in the envelope, stick them in the mailbox. They're gone.
Yeah, that's good. I like that.
Somebody just wants, there's just a little thing, I'll write them a letter back along with the thing.
Oh, that's nice.
I do that,
Sure, that's great.
It only takes a few minutes. In fact, they sent one out today like that.
And you know it's appreciated.
Yeah, I'm sure it is.
Well, it's been 40 years since you became a professional baseball player.
Don't say that.
When I was a little kid, you were a whole lot older than me. You're no longer a whole lot older than me. I don't know how that happened. There's been a lot of changes in the game, and money's the big thing. But other than the money, what do you think